Hello and welcome to tonight's edition of the Eurocopa podcast. I am your host, Nipun Chopra. Thanks for joining us. Today, we will do an abbreviated podcast where we'll discuss the two big games from today, which was the wins for England and the US men's national team. In order to do those, do that wrap-up, I'm joined by Karthik Krishnaya and Robert Hay. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me tonight. Let's start, Robert, with the US men's national team. We just got done watching what was an excellent game, very entertaining, a real cup game, a real quarterfinal game, a knockout game. Red cards, goals, yellow cards, fouls, coaches being ejected. Excellent game, wasn't it, Robert?
Yeah, this game truly had everything you could possibly want in it. I'm trying to think of maybe the only thing missing was a hat trick, and I think Dempsey might have threatened that at some point. good win for the U.S. If you watch the English broadcast version of this match in the U.S., you would have heard the talk about grit and determination, and that's why the U.S. won. I think it was a little bit more than that. I think that partly Ecuador decided not to come out and play really until the second half when their backs were against the wall. That's when they really started playing very well. And the U.S., I think this overall was a pretty good matchup for them. Ecuador didn't press them and allowed the U.S. to do a lot, at least to the beginning. And U.S. created some bad matchups. Bobby Wood tonight was a bad matchup overall when he kept his head on his shoulders. Clint Dempsey was a bad matchup. And then when you combine that with some good defensive play by overall, even though there were some mishaps, by Jeff Cameron and definitely John Brooks and Brad Zahn. This was a good result for the U.S., obviously, and I think a well-deserved win. They probably should have done a little bit better, had some substitutions come on in the second half to not make it such a nervy last 15 minutes when Ecuador really looked like they were going to tie this match. But overall, you can't fault the U.S. for playing a good game and getting this one right and advancing to an interesting next match.
Karthik, let's talk about the player of the tournament right now for the U.S., and that's Brooks. I mean, he was terrific today, dealt with an injury to, I think it was his wrist or his arm. And then, except for a couple of minutes immediately after the sending off of Jones, he didn't set a foot wrong, had multiple interceptions, read the game really well, and dare I say, reminded me a little bit of Rio Ferdinand in games that I've seen.
It's not a crazy comparison. In fact, Rafa Honigstein made a comparison with Jerome Boateng earlier in the season, which sent people into people were going crazy about. Now, a lot of people in the United States didn't see that article, so it didn't cause quite the stir here that it should have, since it is a U.S. international defender. But his positioning sense has been impeccable in this tournament. You see him winning balls. We talked about, obviously, the Paraguay game, that game-saving, probably tournament-saving tackle he made for the United States on that three-on-one breakaway. He times his tackles perfectly. He's leaving the ground at the right moment. Some defenders time their tackles and leaving their feet all wrong, even veteran defenders. And his positioning sense has been impeccable. The partnership with Jeff Cameron has been impressive. Two guys coming off seasons where they played very well for high-level clubs, Cameron for Stoke, Brooks for Hertha Berlin. So I think we're seeing the value in the U.S. team of guys that are playing at high-level clubs and are developing a positioning sense and a tactical sense. And we're seeing that throughout the team, but Brooks is the foremost example. And what a tournament he's had. I think this might be a stretch, and this may be homerism, U.S. men's national team homerism, but I think beyond Leo Messi, he's been the best player in this tournament. We don't think of central defenders that way. Although Cannavaro won the player of the year and World Cup Golden Ball. So maybe
Brooks, I think he won the Ballon d'Or that season too.
Yeah, he won the Ballon d'Or, right. Yeah. So every now and then we think about central defenders in that light. And I think Brooks is making a strong, strong case that beside Messi, he's the best player on the planet or one of the two best players on the planet and doesn't whine about the opposition like the other guy who's really, really good about the way the opposition plays. Of course, reference to Ronaldo and his comments about Iceland after that draw the other day. But I think he might be the second best player in this tournament.
Yeah, I really like what you said there, Karthik, because I'm thinking about teams that have done well. You know, you obviously have teams that have players like Messi, and they're all, always going to do well. But when you don't have a standout star like that, you have to build your team around a strong defensive unit. And I look at Brooks, and I look at Cameron, and I look at some of the defensive plays we've seen, especially in the Paraguay game, later on in this game. And I'm really heartened by the defensive structure in this team. I liked watching Bradley drop into those deep positions. I liked, actually, Robert, let me get you in on this idea. So one of the things I thought the U.S. kind of tweaked, or whether it was Klinsmann or someone else, was the role of Zardes. We can talk about the goal he had. I mean, even he couldn't have missed that goal. But the point I wanted to raise was that he's been given this slightly more withdrawn role where, in my opinion, you get rid of some of his biggest weakness, which is his crossing. His crossing is fairly atrocious. And you work to his strength, which is driving at a holding midfielder or a defender of an opposition with the pace he has, with the trickery he has. So I like the tweak that they've made there, and it's really freed up Wood and Dempsey, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, like you said, it frees them up to do what they do best and how they play off of each other. So, we have a tendency to criticize Jurgen Klinsmann. I know I've done it in the past for his technical, let's say, lack of acumen. But again, I think in this game, he got it right. In terms of the back line and Michael Bradley playing deep, I think a lot of that also has to do with the fact that you finally have a rotation and players who have been playing together for this national team. For the longest time, there's a lot of tinkering going on. And whether that was due to the talent or lack thereof, players not meshing very well or just not working together, it seems like the U.S. has finally hit upon something that's going to resemble a good defense in the back there. And then when you have to, when you free Michael Bradley from having to roam forward and be a creative playmaker, as you said, having Zardes play a little bit more of that role, he does what he does best, which is kind of disruptor, box-to-box, whatever you want to call it, and help out with the back. So, I mean, as much as we give, criticize Klinsmann for not getting it sometimes, maybe, just maybe, he did get it on those points, although the biggest tests are yet to come.
Yeah. Karthik, it's interesting, just to finish up on that, it's almost like the U.S. is playing a 4-3-1-2 now as opposed to a 4-3-3, which actually is a bit of a tweak. But what I want to bring up with you, I'm sure we'll preview the semifinal game in detail when we record on Sunday, but one of the takeaways from this game is that the U.S. will be missing Bedoya, Bobby Wood, as well as Jones. And those are three important players in the system. My friend Joe Dilling has been talking to me about this on Twitter, and he suggests that we might see the introduction of Zusi starting ahead of the likes of Nagby, who I picked. What about you? How do you see the reworking of that system?
Yeah, I think he values Zusi's work rate and his defensive work rate. So I think that's correct. I think he's right. Zusi will probably start. I'm assuming Beckerman for Jones. Beckerman doesn't have quite Jones's mobility, and you're losing something. Jermaine Jones has been fantastic in this tournament. It was just one moment of madness. It wasn't even madness. He didn't. But it was just a thought. You don't put your hand up there and leave the referee with a decision. So he's gone. And then Bobby Wood is so integral to the way the U.S. plays in this system. And his tucking in and covering for the fullback. And we saw that again today before the sending off, where he would tuck in and he could cover for Matt Beisler on that side. Or if he were playing on the other side, cover for Fabian Johnson against the pace of Antonio Valencia and Jefferson Montero. That is lost against Argentina. Beckerman isn't quite as mobile. So, and you notice when the U.S. has played in a diamond, Beckerman has always played at the bottom or the tip of that diamond because he's not that he doesn't move as well side to side. He moves the ball as well as any American player does side to side. I'll say that as far as his passing, he can keep the ball moving and circulate the ball, which is important if you keep possession. It may not be against Argentina, assuming the U.S. faces Argentina, may not have that much possession. But so those are the three. I think it'd be Beckerman, Zusi, and probably Pulisic. Mm-hmm. It could be Wando.
Could be Nagby, too. Pulisic might get Nagby in that system as well. So
it could be Nagby. And I think Yedlin comes – Beisler played very well today, but I think Yedlin comes back for for a potential matchup against Argentina.
Oh, good Lord. I mean, the thought of – that forward line against anyone in that forward line against Yedlin makes me just shake my head and in fear at how embarrassing that's going to be. Guys, let's go ahead and move ahead to talking about the England game. Where do we start with this? I guess the way I contextualize this game, Robert, is that Roy Hodgson tried to pull a Klinsmann. In spite of all the criticism he got after the first game, he kept the same system, he kept the same personnel in the second game. It did not, however, unlike the Klinsmann situation, it did not work out. And credit to him, he made some changes, brought on Sturridge, who's the other person he brought on? I'm totally blanking.
He brought on Vardy.
Vardy, thank you. Yeah, Sturridge and Vardy at the start of the second half. And that really opened up the game and led England to the victory.
It was baffling. I mean, when you consider what the results were for both of these teams and what they needed, you kind of knew that Wales could get away with playing a little bit more defensively. And and the lineup that England threw out there, again, it just wasn't producing. You know, you could see kind of ahead that it probably wouldn't produce as well against this Wales lineup and the way it was going, especially with some of the players in the form. So, yeah, you're right. It was a little confusing as to why. They're almost stubborn, almost a sense of, I'm going to go down with the ship that brought me here. But to his credit, again, he didn't do what some managers would do and just double down. He did bring on the two in-form players that we mentioned, and they made a huge difference. I mean, it was a 180 switch between the first half and the second half in this match. And you could see England with a little bit of life. You know, the goals that were scored were just well done by some very good players. And it was a different England team. You know, I think they were people gave them too much credit in the Russian match. I don't think they played that well. This second half was the best that I've seen them play in a while. Mm-hmm. And they were playing against a good team that was bunkering in a little bit to get a draw, or at least, you know, at least a draw. And they came out with 3 points.
Kartik, we both, I think everyone who watches the game closely is in agreement that unlike the Copa America, the refereeing in the European Championships has been terrific. And that's what allowed for that first Vardy goal when it looked like he was in an offside position. But as we know, it actually came off Ashley Williams, so it wasn't offside. So refereeing aside, what did you see in this game from England that makes you believe that they will go far in this tournament? Because I have to admit that in spite of that second half performance, there's still a lot of questions with that England team. And, maybe Sturridge is the answer.
Their officiating has been excellent in this tournament. A few mistakes here and there, but that happens everywhere. We see UEFA has picked the top officials, and they're doing a great job. So good shout there, Nipun, to the officials. What from this match makes me believe England can go very far in the tournament? Nothing. It's all about matchups, because they're third-place teams that are going to get out of the groups, and it's about who you play. It's kind of a different situation this year as a 24-team tournament, and England might win their group. They might not. And Wales plays Russia, and I think England-Slovakia is likely a draw. So Wales could get 3 points against Russia and still win the group. I thought the two best players on the pitch today for me were Aaron Ramsey and Joe Allen, at least for the duration of the game, for the 90 minutes of the game. I thought both were very good in the Welsh midfield. I liked the way Wales's wide players, Gunter and particularly Neil Taylor, got forward in the first half. Bale was Bale. When he gets into space, he's very dangerous. So there weren't very many guys I would say played well for England. In fact, England got out, right? They got out of jail.
Right.
I do not think there was a whole lot of difference between the way England played in this game and Belgium played against Italy. Mm. Now, of course, Italy is a stronger opponent than Wales. And there were also some poor finishing from Belgium, whereas Vardy took that chance and Sturridge did brilliantly on that final goal. But I saw guys clumping up on the pitch. I saw Hodgson just throwing attacker on after attacker, desperately trying to throw men forward. No shape in the midfield. I given Rooney props. I'm in agreement with you. He couldn't move the ball side to side. He was out of position. He can play those long balls. I noticed that. Those diagonal balls, he can play very well, as you mentioned. But the Michael Carrick-type work or Danny Drinkwater-type work wasn't done today by him, and it wasn't done at all. Mm-hmm. I thought Dele Alli was positionally very poor today. I didn't like anything I saw from England. Now, somehow they won, and as I said, I thought Bale and Allen were the two best players, and somehow they were on the team that lost. But Maybe England is gonna get breaks and get through this tournament. Otherwise, I don't see them getting past the quarterfinals. We've had 180 minutes of evidence now, once again, that they're not at the level that so many in the British press and so many proponents of England thought they were at, which is unfortunate because I think it's just a young team. World Cup 2018, they could be very strong, but it's first tournament for a lot of these guys.
And not only is it the first tournament for a lot of these guys, Karthik, as you said, they're a young team. It's a lot of it's a first season for a lot of these guys. I mean, look at Vardy. It's not
first guys.
Yeah, in the sense that this is Vardy's breakthrough season. So this is the season that's brought him to prominence. Marcus Rashford, all the Spurs guys. So a lot of these players, I put Chris Smalling in that. This is Chris Smalling's breakout season as well. So for a lot of these players, this has been their first season that they have reached prominence at the world level.
That's a great point. Yeah. And the two guys I mentioned on Wales that I think were very good in this game, Ramsey and Al. Now, Ramsey's a very, very good player. We know that he's probably as good as any England player. So that's not a surprise. But Joe Allen being as good as he was today was a bit of a surprise to me. But those are guys who are veterans. Those are guys who've now played in the Premier League for six, seven, eight seasons consistently when they're not injured. Obviously, Allen's been in and out of the Liverpool team. Ramsey always plays for Arsenal when he's not hurt. So that's a good point. The contrast with the Rashfords and the Dele Allis and the Harry Kanes and the Jamie Vardys is pretty dramatic. And I think England, when it sounds like I'm negative about England, I think they're young. I think in 2018, they're going to be very good. In Euro 2020, when the final's going to be at Wembley, they could win it. But it's just, it's a bridge too far now. We're in a transition, and it's a tournament too soon for a lot of these guys.
Yeah,
and the guy, and you know, you all are bringing up some of the teams that have done well, even in the small sample size. You bring up the Spains, the Italys, the Germanys of the world. These are teams that have played together and had players come up through the ranks and played together for a number of games. You know, Aaron Ramsey and Joe Allen, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know at least Aaron Ramsey's been on this Wales team for a long time. So again, you know, the longer that these players play together for England, that can make a huge difference if they can stick.
Yeah, very good points. Gentlemen, very briefly, Karthik and Robert, we should mention that another big result today was Northern Ireland beating Ukraine 2-0. And Karthik, you had a couple of points you wanted to make about that.
Yeah, I thought they really played well. Big shout to go with Johnny Evans at left back over Shane Ferguson today. I was very surprised by that decision, actually. By
Tony Pulis has been doing it all season.
Yeah, by Michael O'Neill, and it's the same situation, right? It's Chris Brunt is injured for both club and country, and that decision's had to be made. So I think he was really good as far as I was concerned, Johnny Evans. And in general, you're looking at a Northern Ireland team that looked today like a team that not only belonged in this tournament, but a team that could beat, well, obviously they won 2-0, but a team that could advance in this tournament. I was stunned because, remember, I'd given them props in our preview pods. I was stunned by how they came out against Poland and how starstruck they looked and how off the pace they looked. They looked like one of the worst teams in the tournament, if not the worst. And I have to chalk that up to that being first game in a major tournament in 30 years for a country like Northern Ireland and a nation like Northern Ireland. And so they looked very good today. And Josh McGinnis made a decision not to go to the corner when they're up 1-0 in stoppage time. Couldn't believe he did that. Put a shot on goal, but put it on with enough power, which is what you do. You're told if you're not going to go to the corner, put a shot, make sure it's on target, and the keeper either has to parry it out of play or there's a rebound. There's a rebound. McGinn goes in, scores 2-0, match over. What this does is this puts Northern Ireland in a position to go through if they can get a point against Germany, or maybe even if they just lose 1-0. Guys, this is a great note to end the show on. We might have all three home nations competing in this tournament in the knockout stages. Who would have thought that? England doesn't have it all to themselves anymore. Northern Ireland and Wales very much could be in the knockout stages of the Euros. And we know once you get to the knockout stages, anything can happen.
As we should also mention that Germany drew 0-0 with Poland in a game that was actually more exciting than the scoreline will suggest. I thought Lewandowski had a couple of good chances. Germany still has to figure out how they're going to balance the width issue that they have, because all their players that are usually playing on the wings are moving too far centrally and it's making everything really narrow. So very interesting so far, guys, and we'll be back on Sunday to talk more about this. We'll preview the USA presumably USA-Argentina game and the other quarterfinals and talk about what's been going on in the European Championships as well. So I just want to say thank you to both you, Robert, and Karthik. And on behalf of everyone here at World Soccer Talk and at the EuroCopa podcast, Karthik?
Enjoy your football.